This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive, smart, fun radio. Politicians, policy, and what's happening in Parliament. It's our politics professional on Joy Drive.
Dr. James Murphy from Melbourne University, good to have you back.
Live in the studio this time.
I know.
Live and direct. Yeah, it's good to be here.
I've got to say, it is very exciting having you live in studio.
Now you get to see my shirt, my colourful, loud shirt.
It is yes. Very loud.
All about my optimism for the day, you know, so we can talk politics, but you can,
but
you can
mainly
feel
about the
how
shirt.
Vivid I
we,
am.
We want the optimism today because we were talking about inflation rates before, and that was all was very negative, of course, because it's going to impact so many people. Mm. But let's start off with the state election, which is coming up. Where are we at with that?
Yeah, look, it's not too far away. Early voting starts next Monday morning.
Wow.
So if you're desperate to get in there and cast your vote early, you can do that. That's coming soon. 2 weeks after that is election day proper. There's not much time left until we actually go to polling day and plan our election parties and all the rest of it.
How's it looking in terms of polling?
The polls are getting a little bit closer. So if you asked me that a week ago, I would have said that we're on track for the Dan Slide Mark II. The polling was massively in favour of Labor. It's narrowed a little bit. There's been two polls come out the last 2 weeks. Last few days, I should say, actually. News poll had Labor ahead 54-46. The Australian Fin Review this morning was saying 56-44. That's two sets of fairly similar numbers. It's narrower than it used to be. It's still a Labor victory, but it's a much narrower one. It's the lower number is enough to make a few people's teeth chatter in the Labor Party, I think, yeah.
Well, speaking of close numbers, where are the seats that have, you know, a real battle on their hands?
Yeah, there's a few. There's been a big redistribution of electorates since the last election, which means they changed the boundaries of a whole bunch of electorates. That means that there are a few weird cases where if the election had have been carried out on the new boundaries last time, mm-hmm. it would have a different flavour of MP, right? They'd be from a different side of politics. So we call these like nominal Labor seats or nominal coalition seats. And there's a bunch of those on either side. So there are two Labor seats that are nominally Liberal and vice versa. Those are super duper close and they'll be really interesting to see what happens. If I had to nominate a couple that are the most interesting for us.
Just quickly before you go into those specific seats, why were the lines changed?
Oh, we do that. The Electoral Commission does that periodically.
Okay.
And it does it to rebalance when the number of humans in each seat starts to get out of whack.
So it's just based on population.
Not precisely. There are a couple of other considerations that they have to take in. They try and keep like organic communities sort of together rather than like cut down the middle and stuff like that. They'll try mm-hmm. and not cross major freeways or rivers and natural landmarks and stuff like this. So they call them community of interest that they try to keep together. But mainly, yeah, they're shopping for a set of boundaries that gives roughly similar sizes of electorate.
So if you're a politician and you currently hold that seat that's undergoing review, there's nothing you could do. You could, if it changes, and you could potentially lose the next election if it impacts your, you know, the number of votes you
receive. Yeah, it has happened like that. Yeah. So sometimes you're just unlucky. Some suburb gets dealt into your electorate that's full of people that hate your guts, and that's
wow.
it. That's
kind and they of, can't say no or?
Well, the major parties make submissions to the right. process, so they all get kind of, they'll have a go
yeah.
at getting the most favourable map that they can get. But in Australia, it's pretty respected and fair process. I teach a class at Melbourne Uni where we talk a little bit about how they do it in America, and that's a completely partisan process with people from the different parties controlling it, trying their best to screw over their opponents in kind of wild tricks and dirty
so
tricks.
So at least we don't have that.
No, we don't. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Now you're going to tell us about these two seats that are
A couple that are especially interesting, right? So these aren't especially ones that have been affected by redistributions, but are just interesting nonetheless. One is Hawthorn. Hawthorn is held by Labor, which is not a sentence that I expected to say in my lifetime. It was won by Labor just last election. The Labor candidate had to be roused from his sleep to be told on election night that he'd won. He was so certain that he wasn't going to win that he'd gone back to sleep and they had to wake up John and say, John, you won the one-year seat. So they were not expecting
that's
to win,
like a
right?
scene from a movie, I feel.
What?
Yeah, that's right. So that's right. Labor, you know, they're trying to recontest the seat. I'm not sure how it's going to go for them. I would say it's unlikely that they'll hold it, but the Liberals are trying to win it back with John Pesutto. He held it before. If he wins, he's probably a fair candidate for leader of the Victorian Liberal Party, right? Assuming that Matthew Guy has trouble hanging in there. But his competition is from the Teals, and the Teals have won that seat at the federal level. And the campaign that waged that federal effort is now doing the same thing at the state level. So there's a real chance that a Teal independent could win that seat. So that's a live contest with Labor and the Liberals and a Teal candidate all in the mix.
It'll be interesting to see whether the Teal wave happens at the state level.
Absolutely. I think Teals also have a chance in Q, the seat of former Liberal Tim Smith. He's retiring, but there's a chance that, Teals could do pretty handsomely there as well.
So is this indicative that, the Liberal voters are so disgruntled with the party at the moment that they are turning to the Teals because they feel like they represent their values better?
Well, one genre of Liberal voter, I suppose, right? And that's Liberal voters in these, very advantageous postcodes, right? I remember talking about this group to someone else and saying, there's a type of Liberal voter whose house has a name, there's a name emblazoned on the front of the house, right?
And it ends in LEA.
That's very different to other types of Liberal voters who are living in other parts of the state, right? So I think there are a bunch of seats, Nepean, right? I'm from the Mornington Peninsula. Down at Nepean, that's a seat that's probably going to go from Labor back to the Liberals. I think they've got a pretty good chance there. Pakenham is line ball, so that's not what you would maybe traditionally think of as Liberal turf, but Pakenham is sort of looking pretty good for them. Ringwood as well is another one that looks pretty close. But look, there are a couple of others that are interesting. Northcote and Richmond are two seats where the Greens are going after Labor seats and they're in with a shot. Particularly Richmond, Richard Wynne was the long-serving member there and he's retiring this time around. So it's live ball there, yeah.
We're chatting with Dr. James Murphy, lecturer in politics from the University of Melbourne, about politics and the upcoming election. James, you've just touched on them a little, but what are we seeing in terms of the minor parties, the Greens, the independents and those micro parties?
Yeah, so there's some of those inner city seats that the Greens are looking to take off Labor. They're looking to defend a couple as well. Perran is always an interesting seat, a very close three-way contest that will end up in a recount and a recount and a recount after the recount. So that'll be an interesting one to watch. Brunswick, the Greens are defending and Labor are going pretty hard after that seat. So they're hoping to get that back off the Greens. That's an interesting one. But I'm always interested in some of the weird and wonderful micro parties and stuff that are running in these elections. The United Australia Party is having a go at a bunch of kind of western suburbs seats, like far western suburbs. Labor's really worried about the western suburbs and losing sort of their traditional heartland to parties like the UAP or the Freedom Party of Victoria is sort of running candidates this time around. So there's a bunch of those. Even the Liberal Democrats are apparently spending heaps of cash down in Frankston to try and win a seat out there. So
what are they campaigning on? Like, what have they honed in on that they can potentially take the votes away from Labor?
So during the election, I've been collecting all the pamphlets that have been handed out and I've been explaining them to my 4.5-year-old Arthur. Right? And we've been sitting down at bedtime and reading them all. And last night, we were reading the pamphlet from the Victorian, the Freedom Party, right?
Right.
I didn't force, he asked, I didn't force this on him.
Like, are you serious?
I'm a politics expert, right? Like, I was like real nervous about forcing this on my son. But anyway, just the other night we were reading the Freedom Party, pamphlet and talking about, well, what do they stand for? And they stand for a few things. I was explaining that they want to put the boss of Victoria, Daniel Andrews, in jail. for the lockdowns, right?
Like literally in jail?
Yeah, yeah. Like he's culpable for a lot of the deaths that occurred during lockdown, right? Or for robbing people of their freedom during the, you know, it's the Victorian Freedom Party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the lives he saved.
Well, they would say that they were unnecessary lockdowns, right? So it's like it goes off deep into conspiracy land fairly quickly with that particular political party.
Mm-hmm.
The UAP, they've been big and noisy about COVID lockdowns being unnecessary as well, or being overkill, or whatever. There is a little bit of polling that suggests that there's some sentiment amongst the Victorian people that they were, that like we were in lockdown too long or something like that. But that's the big one. It's COVID stuff, and it's Labor ignoring the Western suburbs, taking them for the granted, that kind of thing.
So, you know, you said that there is some evidence that some people are going to get behind them.
Yeah.
How likely, though, is it that they'll actually take those seats?
Lower house seats, I'd say it's not too likely. On election night, I would be, saying that you need to have a pretty good tax in your drinking game for the UAP winning a lower house seat, right? Like you should make people drink a lot for that particular event, right? Because it's not likely.
Yeah.
However, upper house, mm-hmm. I reckon some of those micro parties definitely going to win a seat. How many, whether they've got enough seats to be able to like dictate to the government, that's an interesting question. But we're going to see some weird micro parties in the upper house for sure.
Okay.
We had a big fat opportunity to reform the way we elect people to our upper house in the same way that we did for the Senate at the federal level, and we have not done it. And so we're going to end up with surprises and weirdos. So,
okay. Why didn't we do the reform? Was it just no time?
That's a good question. Look, I'm a big advocate of that kind of reform because I think it gives more power back to voters, right? Rather than going through this weird lottery that we go through with these micro parties kind of preferencing each other and let's play kind of bingo and see who we end up with. We haven't done it. There's some theories about why. There was advice from different groups and parliamentary inquiries saying we should do it and we didn't get around to it. Whether Labor thought that it was probably in the long run more in its interests to not reform it, I've heard that put. I don't know if that's totally convincing to me. It might be just that they ran out of time. They put other things first.
Now, let's say, Dan Andrews does get back in. What do you think that will mean for Matthew Guy and leading the Victorian Liberal Party?
I think if the Liberal Party's internal bar for success is a majority, right, then no leader on earth is likely to be able to give them that, right? To for them to win a majority, they need to win 18 seats. That's not terribly likely.
Right.
18 seats would be, especially with the polling showing the Labor ahead, let alone the Liberals like not ahead by enough to win them that many seats. So like, I don't think that's likely. However, if they do a bit better than expected, if they win 10 seats or something like that, then maybe he gets to hang in there for another go and have one more go at it. I'm not sure. There'd probably be a real battle on their hands, though.
And just on the other side, I see Dan Andrews has said he will stay for the whole term. Should he win, do you reckon this will be his last?
Never say never. Possibly.
The Tom Brady of politics.
I mean, look. It's a long time. Like, 3 full terms is 4-year terms is not something that all that many, politicians manage anymore or have done. You have to go back to kind of the 1950s to see people being in at the top of government for that long. Nearly all of the state premiers and federal leaders who are around through COVID are gone.
Right.
A bunch of them retired because they were like, I'm exhausted. Mm. I can't do it anymore. So like the human toll of hanging in there must be massive. So if he hangs in there past, then I think I want to know what he eats for breakfast and what his regime is, right? Because it's beyond human nearly, right, to hang in there that long.
Yeah.
So I would have thought that towards the next election we'd be seeing someone else leading Labor. I'd be surprised if he had a go at a fourth go if he makes it to the third.
Now, James, later on in the show, we're chatting to Sarah Webb, and she's going to talk to us about, you know, some extraterrestrial signals that we've been receiving from outer space and, you know, what we should do when we do receive them. So I reckon after we have this chat, you're going to see a pamphlet from one of the minor parties with this new conspiracy theory.
Then I have to explain to my son. Yeah, good.
Your son.
Yeah, good. That's great. Yeah.
Fantastic. James, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And James is with us every fortnight here on Joy Drive. Is it fortnightly?
Every fortnight.
And maybe in person?
Ah, yes.
What a thrill. Dr. James Murphy, lecturer in politics from the University of Melbourne.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.